Welcome to the Information Security Forum podcast. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert. Last time, we discussed managing the insider threat, and we explored assessing insider risk, applying technical and management controls, aligning roles, responsibilities, and privileges, and expanding the insider threat program. But we also learned that those steps are not enough, and that human psychology and human behavior must be understood at a much deeper level in order to truly increase security. Today, we're going to discuss how to identify a variety of human vulnerabilities that arise in day-to-day life and in the information security sector. Human-centered security acknowledges that employees interact with technology, controls, and data across a series of touchpoints, digital, physical, or verbal, throughout any given day. And during such interactions, humans need to make decisions, but we humans have a range of vulnerabilities that can lead to errors in decision-making, resulting in negative impacts for our organization. These errors can also be exploited by opportunistic attackers for malicious purposes, so it's important to consider what constitutes a true error in decision-making and what constitutes negligent behavior. By identifying the fundamental vulnerabilities in humans and understanding how psychology works and what triggers risky behavior, organizations can begin to understand why their employees might make errors and then begin managing that risk more effectively. In today's conversation, we are going to focus on errors that are the result of decision-making, genuine accidents or mistakes made without malicious intent. Steve, the ISF's research reveals that more than half of all incidents were a result of insider behavior, but what's even more interesting is that while most other researchers are looking at the threat posed by malicious behavior, the greatest and the fastest growing threat is insider negligence and insider accident. So why are people, presumably well-meaning and skilled professionals, making so many mistakes in workplace security?
Yeah, that's right, Tavia. I mean, the majority of incidents are not intentionally inflicted insider attacks. You know, they are mistakes, as you say. And that reason has to do with brain science. So the human brain is designed to be efficient. We've got tricks or certain mental processes, and the formal term for those processes is heuristics for those who are interested, that really help us more efficiently solve problems and learn new concepts. And these processes make problems less complex by ignoring some of the information that's coming into the brain so we don't get overloaded. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's an essential part of quick decision making, which is very valued, of course, in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. But the important thing here is that these tools are completely unconscious. We're not deciding upon them each time we evaluate information. These processes just automatically run through in our minds. And this can lead to poor judgment or errors in decision making. This kind of mental error is called cognitive bias. Another way of thinking about it, perhaps, is selective perception. You could even call it irrationality. So people aren't making errors because they're bad people or because of bad decisions that they've knowingly made, but because the culture, perhaps, in the organization might not support decisions being made with a proper amount of time for consideration. Could be because of a lack of training within the organization, or because there's some implicit reward, or for any number of other reasons. And that's really why it's so important that CISOs, CIOs, business leaders move beyond looking at the technology and embrace learning about people, the psychology, if you like, of the cyber environment in order to truly move their organization forward with better security.
In fact, the ISF's human-centered security briefing paper gives this great quote from Dr. Margaret Cunningham of Forcepoint. She says, "There's no way we can be robotic about human perception. As security specialists, we need to mitigate these risks, these cognitive biases, errors in thinking, by understanding them better." And I really like that. One of the most interesting things to me is that so often these mental tricks are in response to the issue of time pressure. I think all employees are feeling great time pressure. We make decisions quickly by relying on an emotional response, or we decide that good enough is good enough because we're under the gun to get more done in less time, or we may simply be fatigued. Are those some of the reasons you see people making errors in thinking?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, I mean, if we go back and look at that first error that you mentioned there, you know, making a quick decision from a place of emotion, or what we might call an effect heuristic. You know how you'd be much more likely to buy a new cell phone from a salesperson you like, mm-hmm. for instance. They're not too pushy, they're warm, funny. You feel good in that sales experience. So you are meaning to do more research, but actually you end up making a quick decision to purchase the phone that you're offered. Now, that may not have an impact on your life, but when an assistant receives an email from a hacker masquerading as their managing director, for instance, demanding that they send money to a fake supplier immediately, that employee's emotional response drives the assistant into sending the money without perhaps proper consideration of the threat. Mm. Or another example would be your team is nearing the end of the fiscal quarter. Everyone's been working, you know, even longer hours than usual. Everyone's exhausted. They're looking forward to an upcoming 3-day weekend. But there's a cyber attack. Tensions are running high, and a security analyst may make a good enough decision based on the information that they have and the tools that are at their disposal, or what you might call bounded rationality. Not only does good enough not prove to be good enough, but because of mental and physical fatigue, team members just experience what's known as decision fatigue. Mm. And good security practices are even further disregarded. So it's this sort of constellation, combination, if you like, of circumstances that then lead to a true crisis for the organisation. Mm. Another problem that we've seen and that we talk about in our research is depletion of willpower over time, or ego depletion. So as humans, we have a limited supply of willpower, and it, not surprisingly, decreases with use. So a CISO might be pleasantly surprised to find employees closely following information security policy after receiving awareness training. But they should expect, and more importantly, perhaps address the reality that at the end of the month, employees' willpower will probably have diminished and their security behaviour will lapse. And that's why ongoing training and the running of scenarios must continue. A one-time training effort just isn't good enough.
Hmm. Well, let's talk more about the importance of that kind of training. I think one of the challenges is to instill a belief that one might someday themselves be affected by an event. If it's never happened to us, we tend to think it's never going to happen to us. Is that true? Is that a thinking error?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's called optimism bias. And it's our brain's optimistic way of tricking us into believing we're at a lesser risk of experiencing a negative event compared to others. Mm-hmm. So you might know, for instance, a cigarette smoker who believes they'll never get lung cancer. In that same optimistic irrationality, many companies' boards, for instance, believe their enterprise will not be hit by a cyber attack, despite statistical evidence to the contrary. Now, training can address that bias, and part of training must be real-life scenarios or examples of negative events that we can relate to, which helps mitigate another bias when humans make judgments about the likelihood of an event based on how easily an example, instance, or case comes to mind. So individuals hold open doors to buildings for delivery people, typically, because they've never experienced a tailgating incident before and therefore don't perceive them to be a threat. It's the responsibility of the security leadership to work against that availability heuristic so that their employees can call to mind ample examples of different threat scenarios as they play out in those employees' and certainly board members' lives and workplaces.
Hmm. This is really interesting. I'm curious about simple herd behavior, or the tendency for us to mimic the actions of a larger group. I can imagine that being a big problem if, for example, one member of a team always writes passwords down on a post-it note, and that behavior spreads throughout an entire team. Is that one of the ways we live more efficiently and irrationally, by ascribing to herd behavior?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you know, there is some reward in a herd mentality. Going against the herd is dangerous in a way. But, you know, as a security leader, you do want independent thinking people on your team. Those critical thinking people who don't adopt poor security hygiene or approaches just because they see others do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the only reward-based error. We know that humans allow themselves to indulge after doing something positive first. So employees who perhaps shred sensitive materials may perceive that they've done their good deed for the day and therefore become a bit more complacent, perhaps click on a phishing email. Because of their previous good deed, they feel subconsciously that they have a license to ignore some other policy, almost as a reward. And now, again, that isn't malicious behavior. It's a thinking error. Or instead of being inspired to perform better security behaviors because of external rewards offered by the company for those behaviors, the employees actually lose motivation and interest as a result of receiving excessive external rewards. And that's called the over-justification effect. It's counterintuitive, but CISOs who understand these thinking errors can make more informed decisions about how to successfully lead their teams.
That's really interesting. I would think that being rewarded for behavior would encourage the behavior, but it's really great to know that it actually has a detrimental effect. This is all super helpful. Are there any other thinking errors that security leaders should be aware of?
Well, I think that if the thinking errors we've talked about so far can be recognized, then you can do something to mitigate them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're putting leaders into a position of having real power to better manage security weaknesses. But there are just a couple left that are also important that I think we ought to touch upon. I mean, one that affects us all frequently, whether we're in information security or not, is the tendency for humans to rely heavily on or anchor on the first or most profound piece of information they're given. Now, we saw this, for instance, during the NotPetya attack, when some organizations mistakenly classified the attack because earlier media reports incorrectly referenced a different strain of malware, and the results were not insignificant. So when we start to look at designing security processes and policies, leaders need to be aware of a number of different things. And choice overload is another one of these, or the fact that as people, we sometimes struggle to make decisions when faced with too many different options.
Mm-hmm.
This can cause significant decision delay or complete avoidance in some instances. So security analysts in a security operations center may be overwhelmed by a large volume of alerts, you know, impeding their ability to quickly and accurately detect a potential security incident. So this often occurring scenario needs to be thought through and training offered to support employees in making decisions despite the overwhelming number of choices that they face. And then finally, leaders should really try to identify the effects of polarization or what takes place in the human mind when situations are viewed in either or categories with absolutely no shade of grey. So in this efficient but negative thinking error, an individual will see things only in extremes, which can result in catastrophizing or minimizing.
Hmm.
Now, an example might be an employee who doesn't work in security, who may perceive information security as something that perhaps doesn't concern them, that has no relationship to them. In fact, as we know, every person in an enterprise has a role to play in security, from the office cleaner and groundskeeper to the customer service representative to the CISO and ultimately, of course, to the board president. Unaddressed polarization can manifest in a number of different ways from a security weakness standpoint.
This is really interesting because what you're saying is that the informed security leader will understand that these thinking errors are not the result of a lack of intelligence or a lack of talent. These are, as you said, it's brain science. If we can understand the way our employees and our colleagues' brains work, then we can mitigate the weaknesses that those thinking errors cause. But we don't have to lose valuable talent because we think that they alone are the problem.
Yeah, and I think that's been the problem up until now with a lot of security awareness programs. You know, we've come in from the position that people are perhaps stupid. They're not paying attention. They're not following through the specific training programs or whatever it is. And so there's a little bit of sort of blame attached to it. But that isn't the case. And I think that, you know, just some of the things we've been talking about here, hopefully explain why people do what they do a little bit better. But I think that you're right. You know, from a security leadership standpoint, it really is fundamental to be effective in this space and to really increase your security posture across an organization. We need to start better understanding the way in which people respond and react.
Mm-hmm. So we need to continue to focus on tools and technology, but we also must have a greater focus on human psychology, human behavior.
That's right.
Well, it's clear that the implications of unaddressed cognitive biases or unmediated thinking errors, such as you've described, in the information security space particularly, are far-reaching. If these thinking errors are not understood and the management of them isn't integrated into formal training and awareness campaigns, those typical, understandable human errors may continue to pose significant information security risk to organizations. But once an enterprise accepts that decision-making can be significantly disrupted by these thinking errors, they can begin to recognize what triggers them and then take steps to manage human vulnerabilities and the related risk to the business. Now that we have more tools to identify human vulnerabilities, Next episode, we're going to look at how those human vulnerabilities are exploited. So we'll be back next week with an episode delving into that conversation. In the meantime, listeners, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate and review it, and share it in your networks. Be sure to visit securityforum.org to join the conversation on our LinkedIn group, access the show notes, and download ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance relating to this discussion. We'll be back soon. Thanks so much for listening.